Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Sabbath when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they have been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions. They're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our schools, our public institutions, and we have made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Now, are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. And that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. And they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still one school left in America, at least one, that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the benefits and the penalties. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. And best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and then send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we have been talking about the Sabbath, and I went through a little review with you last time, and I showed you that the Sabbath is on Saturday. So out of 7 days in the week, we can identify the day from the scripture. We can also identify the day from the calendar. We can identify the day by watching a group of people that we call Jews, sneeringly, of course, but then they're the one group of people in the world that practice the Sabbath on Saturday. Now, I would go so far as to say I'm not sure that they all practice the Sabbath using these seven guides that are in the Bible, but at least they recognize that Saturday is a Sabbath, and then they take off on Saturday, and they observe it. And whether they keep it perfectly or not, that's another story for another day. But then they do observe Sabbath on Saturday. They're the only people in the world that do that. There are some splinter Christian groups. Well, there might be some splinter groups of other organizations or religions around the world that may keep the Sabbath on Saturday. I estimated for you the other day that probably the number of people in the world that observe the Sabbath would probably number no more than 10 million. There's about 20 million Jews in the world, and they all know what day the Sabbath is, but most Jews don't even observe the Sabbath. I mean, they're out driving truck. I mean, they know what day it is, but they don't observe it, they don't practice it, they're out doing their thing just like everybody else. That's why I said I doubt if there's more than 10 million around the world. Now, virtually the entire world keeps Sunday. There is a large minority of people, the Muslims, who practice the Sabbath on Friday. And I showed you from the scripture that you can't do that. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, there's two statutes. And they prohibit any of us from changing one jot or tittle in the law. The Messiah said not till one jot or tittle, or not one jot or tittle can be altered in the law. He said that in Matthew 5, 17 through 20. And these two statutes from Deuteronomy tell you the same thing. And that's where he got it from. He quoted it right out of Deuteronomy. All right, so with that much out of the way, the Catholic Church is the third. Three ways to identify Saturday as being the Sabbath. And that's because the Catholics are the ones that changed it. And they're the best authority to go to find out, well, you change it, tell us about it. And so from Roman Catholicism, let me give you a couple of citations here. The Roman Catholic Church makes these comments concerning the Sabbath. This is proof number three now. From the Roman Catholics. It says, nowhere in the Bible do we find that Jesus or the apostles ordered that the Sabbath be changed from Saturday to Sunday. We have the commandment of God given to Moses to keep holy the Sabbath day. That is the seventh day of the week, Saturday. Today, most Christians keep Sunday because it's been revealed to us by the Roman Church outside the Bible. That was cited in the Catholic Virginian, October 3rd, 1947. Now, you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctified. Cited from James Cardinal Gibbons in The Faith of Our Fathers in 1917 on pages 72 and 73. Going on, the Catholics revealed to us, if Protestants would follow the Bible, they would worship God on the Sabbath day. In keeping the Sunday, they are following a law of the Catholic Church. Albert Smith, the Chancellor of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, replying for the Cardinal in a letter of February 10, 1920. Question. Have you not any other way of proving that the Church has power to institute festivals of precept? Answer. Had she not such power, she would not have done that in which all modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day, a change for which there is no scriptural authority. Stephen Keenan, A Doctoral Catechism, 3rd edition, page 174. Going on. Question. How prove you that the Church hath power to command feasts and holy days? Answer. By the very act of changing the Sabbath into Sunday, which Protestants allow, and therefore they fondly contradict themselves. By keeping Sunday strictly and breaking most other feasts commanded by the same Church. Henry Tuberville, An Abridgment of the Christian Doctrine, published in 1833, an approbation on page 58, and the same statement is made in the Manual of Christian Doctrines by Daniel Ferris, published in 1916 on page 67. The Catholic Church, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. Published in the Catholic Mirror, the official organ of Cardinal Gibbons on September 23, 1893. Is Saturday the seventh day according to the Bible and the Ten Commandments? I answer yes. Is Sunday the first day of the week, and did the Church change the seventh day, Saturday, for Sunday, the first day? I answer yes. Did Christ change the day? I answer, not faithfully yours. J. Cardinal Gibbons. Gibbons, Autobiography in a Letter. Some theologians have held that God likewise directly determined the Sunday as the day of worship in the New Law, that he himself was explicitly substituted, or he, rather, himself has explicitly substituted Sunday for the Sabbath. But this theory is entirely abandoned. It is now commonly held that God simply gave his church the power to set aside whatever day or days she would deem suitable as holy days. The church chose Sunday, the first day of the week, and in the course of time added other days as holy days. John Locke's A Course in Religion for Catholic High Schools and Academies, published in 1936, Volume 1, page 51. Question. Which day is the Sabbath? Answer. Saturday is the Sabbath day. Question. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Answer. We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. Cited by Peter Gierman, The Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, published in 1946 on page 50. Gierman received the apostolic blessing of Pope Pius X on his labors on January 25, 1910. The Church changed the observance of the Sabbath to Sunday by right of the divine infallible authority given to her by her founder, Jesus Christ. The Protestant claiming the Bible to be the only guide of faith has no warrant for observing Sunday. In this matter, the Seventh-day Adventist is the only consistent Protestant. The Catholic Universe Bulletin, August 14th, 1942. All right, now there are the three proofs. Number one, look at the calendar, and the calendar will tell you that the seventh day of the week is Saturday. Look in the Bible, and it'll tell you that God rested on the seventh day. Check history, and you will find that the weekly cycle has never been interrupted from the Garden of Eden until today. It is true there have been many, many calendar changes from civilization to civilization, but never a change in the weekly cycle. And third, just take a look at the Jew. Now, there are other theologians, in case you didn't think that Catholicism was the sole authority. I think they're the best. I mean, after all, they're the ones that claim that they had the power to change it, and they changed it. The Bible says plainly they don't have that power, but then that's another story. They can take that up with God himself in the judgment. And then I'm sure he'll have some questions for some high-ranking Catholic officials. I think he'll start right with Constantine and say, hey, boy, come here. I want to talk to you. Now, in addition to that, here in the 20th century, Roman Catholic and Protestant confessions about Sunday observance. I gave you the Catholic confessions. Here's what the American Congregationalists have to say. There's no authority in the New Testament for substitution of the first day for the seventh. The current notion that Christ and his apostles authoritatively substituted the first day for the seventh is absolutely without any authority in the New Testament. Cited by Dr. Lyman Abbott in the Christian Union, June 26, 1890. Anglican. Nowhere commanded to keep the first day. And where are we told in the Scripture that we are to keep the first day at all? We are commanded to keep the seventh day. But we are nowhere commanded to keep the first day. The reason why we keep the first day of the week holy instead of the seventh day is for the same reason that we observe many other things. Not because the Bible, but because the church has enjoined or commanded it. So says Isaac Williams, Plain Sermons on the Catechism, Volume 1, page 334 and 336. In the Anglican Episcopal Church, the Catholics changed it. We have made the change from the seventh day to the first day, from Saturday to Sunday, by the authority of the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church of Christ. So says Episcopalian Bishop Seymour. Why we keep Sunday. Baptists. Sunday Sabbath, not in the Scriptures. There was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day was not on Sunday. It will be said, however, and with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week, with all of its duties, privileges, and sanctions. Earnestly desiring information on this subject, which I have studied for many years, I ask, where can the record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not. There is no scriptural evidence of the change of the Sabbath institution from the seventh to the first day of the week. Now, that's the Baptists. And I wish to say that this Sabbath question, in this aspect of it, is the gravest and most perplexing question connected with Christian institutions, which at present claims attention from Christian people. And the only reason that it is not a more disturbing element in Christian thought and in religious discussion is because the Christian world has settled down content on the conviction that somehow a transference has taken place at the beginning of Christian history. To me, it seems unaccountable that Jesus, during 3 years' discussion with his disciples, often conversing with them upon the Sabbath question, discussing it in some of his various aspects, freeing it from its false glosses of Jewish traditions, never alluded to any transference of the day, and also that during 40 days of his resurrection life, no such thing was intimated. Nor, so far as we know, did the Spirit which was given to bring to their remembrance all things whatsoever that he had said unto them deal with this question. Nor yet did the inspired apostles in preaching the gospel, founding churches, counseling and instructing those founded, discuss or approach the subject. Now, of course, I quite well know that Sunday did come into use in early Christian history as a religious day, as we learn from the Christian fathers and from other sources. But what a pity that it comes branded with the mark of paganism and christened with the name of the sun god, when adopted and sanctioned by the papal apostasy and bequeathed as a sacred legacy to Protestantism. Now, those citations come from Dr. Edward Hiscock, that's S-I-R-H-I-S-C-O-X, the author of the Baptist Manual, from a photostatic copy of a notarized statement by Dr. Hiscock. Now, there was never any formal or authoritative change from the Jewish seventh-day Sabbath to the Christian first-day observance, says William Owen Carver, The Lord's Day in One Day, page 49. Now, from the Church of England, no warrant from Scripture for the change of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. They say, neither did he, Jesus, or his disciples ordain another Sabbath in the place of this, as if they had intended only to shift the day and to transfer this honor to some other time. Their doctrine and their practice are entirely contrary to so new a fancy. It is true that in some tract of time, the church, in honor of his resurrection, did set apart that day on the which he rose to holy exercises, but this upon their own authority, and without warrant from the Scripture or from above, and we can hear of it. More than the general warrant which God gave his church, that all things in it be done decently and in comely order. So says Dr. Peter Halen of the Church of England, quoted in History of the Sabbath, Part 2, Chapter 2, page 7. Here's what the Congregationalists say. The Christian Sabbath, Sunday, is not in the Scripture. The Christian Sabbath, Sunday, is not in the Scripture and was not by the primitive early Christian church called the Sabbath. So says Timothy Dwight, Theology, Sermon 107, published in 1818 in Volume 4, page 49. And also, Dwight, cited in 1752, Dwight, who lived from 1752 to 1817, he was the president of Yale University from 1795 to 1817. Here's what the disciples of Christ say about the Sabbath. It is all old wives' fables to talk of the change of the Sabbath. If it, the Ten Commandments, yet exist, let us observe it. And if it does not exist, let us abandon a mock observance of another day for it. But say some, it was changed from the seventh to the first day. And I ask where, when, and by whom? No, it never was changed, nor could it be changed, unless creation was to be gone through again. For the reason assigned in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, must be changed before the observance or respect to the reason can be changed. It is all old wives' fables to talk of the change of the Sabbath from the seventh to the first day. If it be changed, it was that august person changed it, who changes times and laws ex officio. I think his name is Dr. Antichrist. So says Alexander Campbell, The Christian Baptist, February 2nd, 1824, Volume 1, Number 7. Here's what the Episcopals say. The Bible commandment says the seventh day. The Bible commandment says on the seventh day you shall rest, and that is Saturday. Nowhere in the Bible is it laid down that worship should be done on Sunday. Philip Carrington, quoted in the Toronto Daily Star on October 26, 1949, Carrington, 1892, Anglican Archbishop of Quebec, spoke the above in a message on this subject delivered to a packed assembly of clergymen. It was widely reported at the time in the news media. Here's what the Lutherans say about the Sabbath. They err in teaching Sunday Sabbath, but they err in teaching that Sunday has taken the place of the Old Testament Sabbath and therefore must be kept as the seventh day. The seventh day had to be kept by the children of Israel. These churches err in their teaching, for Scripture has in no way ordained the first day of the week in place of the Sabbath. There is simply no law in the New Testament to that effect. So says John Theodore Mueller, Sabbath or Sunday, on pages 15 and 16. And we have seen how gradually the impression of the Jewish Sabbath faded from the mind of the Christian church, and how completely the newer thought underlying the observance of the first day took possession of the church. We have seen that the Christian of the first three centuries never confused one with the other, but for a time celebrated both. The Sunday Problem, a study book by the Lutheran Church, published in 1923 on page 36. The Roman Catholics allege the change of the Sabbath into the Lord's Day as it seemeth to the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and they have no example more in their mouths than they change of the Sabbath, and they will needs have the church's power to be very great because it hath dispensed with the precept of the Decalogue. That comes from the Augsburg Confession in 1530 A.D., Lutheran Part 2, Article 7, in Philip Schaff, The Creeds of Christendom, 4th edition, Volume 3, page 64. This important statement was made by the Lutherans and written by Melanchthon, only 13 years after Luther nailed his theses to the door and began the Reformation. They, the Roman Catholics, refer to the Sabbath day as having been changed into the Lord's Day, contrary to the Decalogue, as it seems. Neither is there any example whereof they make more than concerning the changing of the Sabbath day. great, say they, is the power of the church, since it has dispensed with one of the Ten Commandments. Again, cited from Augsburg Confession of Faith, Article 28, written by Melanchthon and approved by Martin Luther in 1530, as published in the Book of Concord of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, Henry Jacobs, editor, published in 1911 on page 63. Here's what the Methodists say. Jesus did not abolish the moral law, no command to keep holy the first day. The moral law contained in the Ten Commandments and enforced by the prophets, he, Jesus, did not take away. It was not the design of his coming to revoke any part of this. This is a law which can never be broken. Every part of this law must remain in force upon all mankind and in all ages, as not depending either on time or place, or any other circumstances liable to change, but on the nature of man and their unchangeable relation to each other. John Wesley, Sermons on Several Occasions, Volume 1, page 25. It is true that there is no positive command for infant baptism, nor is there any for keeping holy the first day of the week. Many believe that Christ changed the Sabbath, but from his own words we see that he came for no such purpose. Those who believe that Jesus changed the Sabbath base it only on a supposition. So says Amos Binney, or Binney, Theological Compendium, published in 1902 on pages 180 and 181. On page 171, Binney, who lived from 1802 to 1878, was a Methodist minister and presiding elder whose compendium was published for 40 years in many languages, also wrote a Methodist New Testament commentary. Take the matter of Sunday. There are indications in the New Testament as to how the church came to keep the first day of the week as its day of worship, but there is no passage telling Christians to keep that day or to transfer the Jewish Sabbath to that day. So says Harris Franklin Rawl, Christian Advocate, July 2, 1942, on page 26. And the Moody Bible Institute, the Sabbath was before Sinai. I honestly believe that the commandment, the Sabbath commandment, is just as binding today as it ever was. Now, I have talked with men who have said that it was or has been abrogated or abolished, but they have never been able to point to any place in the Bible where God repealed it. When Christ was on earth, he did nothing to set it aside. He freed it from the traces under which the scribes and Pharisees had put it, and he gave it its true place. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, as it's recorded in Mark 2, verse 27. It is just as practicable and as necessary for men today as it ever was. In fact, more than ever, because we live in such an intense age. Now, the seventh-day Sabbath was binding in Eden, and it has been in force ever since. The fourth commandment, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, begins with the word remember, showing that the Sabbath had already existed when God wrote the law on the tables of stone at Mount Sinai. How can men claim that this one commandment has been done away with when they admit that the other nine are still in full force and binding today? So says Dwight L. Moody, Weighted and Wanting, 1898, page 46 and 47. Dwight L. Moody lived from 1837 to 1899. He was the most famous evangelist of his time and founder of the Moody Bible Institute. This fourth is not a commandment for one place or one time, but for all places and all times, so said Moody at San Francisco on January 1, 1881. Let me pause right here and give you a mid-course reminder. What we're reviewing here is the Sabbath. And is the Sabbath still in force today? Well, every denomination, every major denomination, the Lutherans, the Catholics, the Episcopalians, the Congregationalists, and more, Dwight L. Moody from the Moody Institute, all tell you plainly, in modern times, right up to, you know, within the last 50 years, the people who changed the Sabbath is the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, the Roman Catholics kind of chide you Protestants out there and say, listen, when you follow the Sabbath, to give you an illustration here, he says, now, by the Protestants, the observance of Sunday by the Protestants is an homage that they pay in spite of themselves to the authority of the Catholic Church. So says Monsignor Louis Seeger, S-E-G-U-R, plain talk about the Protestantism of today in 1868 on page 213. Now, that's a punch in the nose if I ever heard one. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the webpage as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be secular or hostile. They could be political or religious. They may be economic or sectarian, or even racial or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may or may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. And they're mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, this week's topic is on the Sabbath. Which day is the Sabbath day? We have shown you very plainly from the scripture and from history, from the calendar, and from the Jew himself. Saturday is the Sabbath. And here's a series of quotations from the various Protestants and Catholic theologians over the last 100 or 150 years. We're telling you the same thing. The scripture says plainly you can't change the law. In fact, the Messiah, this is Jesus himself, said in Matthew 5:17-20, he says, think not that I've come to change the law. Put it out of your mind. Get rid of that thought. It doesn't exist. It's phony. And then there's two statutes in the scripture that tell all the rest of us that we can't change it. And then there's one more definitive statement here in case somebody has an idea that they want to change the scripture. It's in Revelation chapter 22. He says in verse 18, this is Revelation 22 verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now, I want to point out that in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, he tells us exactly the same thing. John was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit in Revelation 22. The very same statement, the very same law, the very same statute that I pointed out in Deuteronomy 12:32 and Deuteronomy 4:2, which says, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, and neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Eternal which I command you." Now, we've been told over and over again. Now, just because somebody runs a big church over here or some religious organization comes along and says, "Hey, listen, let me tell you how this works." Well, you're about to find out when you get to the judgment. I'm sure that the Messiah is going to ask you, "Hey, Bob, hey, Gene, come on over. I want to talk to you." All right. The Presbyterians, on Sunday, being the first day of which the Gentiles solemnly adored the planet and called it Sunday, partly from its influence on that day, especially and partly in respect to its divine body as they conceived it, the Christians thought fit to keep the same day and the same name of it, that they might not appear carelessly peevish, and by that means hinder the conversion of the Gentiles and bring a greater prejudice that might be otherwise taken against the gospel. That's T.M. Moore, Dialogues on the Lord's Day. The Presbyterians. All right, now there's a story for you on the Sabbath day from modern times. Now, there's more to the story than that. Let me give you a couple of more. In the first century, Sabbath observance, I covered that the other day. Josephus and Philo in the first century tell us that the early New Testament observers of this new religious ideology, this ideology separate from the Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees and so on, they kept the same Jewish Sabbath. Now, whether you call it the Jewish Sabbath or you call it God's Sabbath or the Sabbath, it's on Saturday, and it was begun at the Garden of Eden. The weekly cycle has not been interrupted. The early Christians in the second century, I defer to call them Christians because I don't think they were Christians, but that's what we see them as today. Fourth century Sabbath observance in Persia, the Council of Laodicea in the fourth century. In Italy and the East, it was the practice generally of the Eastern churches and some churches of the West. For in the church of Milan, that's Milan, Italy, it seems the Saturday was held in a fair esteem. Not that the Eastern churches or any of the rest which observed that day were inclined to Judaism, but that they came together on the Sabbath day to worship Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. That comes from A History of the Sabbath, the original spelling retained, part 2, paragraph 5, page 73 and 74, published in London in 1636 by Dr. Halen. The Orient of most of the world. The ancient Christians were very careful in the observance of Saturday, or the seventh day, and it's plain that all of the Oriental churches and the greatest part of the world observed the Sabbath as a festival. Athenaeus likewise tells us that they held religious assemblies on the Sabbath, not because they were infected with Judaism, but to worship Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. Epiphanius says the same in Antiquities of the Christian Church, Volume 2, Book 20, Chapter 3, Section 1, page 66, published in... Well, it doesn't say when it was published. I guess that's page number 1138. In Abyssinia, Arabia, Persia, India, China, Italy, Spain, we find the same. Persia and the Council of Laodicea. On Canon 16, on Saturday, the Gospels and other portions of the Scriptures shall be read aloud. Canon 29, Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on Saturday, but shall work on that day, but the Lord's day they shall especially honor, and as being Christians shall, if possible, do no work on that day. That comes from Hafele's Councils, Volume 2, Book 6. In the 4th century, there was a change being made in 365. Remember, it was Constantine who changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. In the 5th century, around the world, for although almost all churches throughout the world celebrated the sacred mysteries, the Lord's Supper, on the Sabbath of every week, yet the Christians of Alexandria and at Rome, on account of some ancient tradition, refused to do this. The footnote which accompanies the foregoing quotation explains the use of the word Sabbath. It says, that is, upon the Saturday, it should be observed that Sunday is never called the Sabbath by the ancient fathers and historians. So says Socrates, Ecclesiastical History, Book 5, Chapter 22, on page 289. We find the same thing in Constantinople. Pope Innocent, 402 to 417, Pope Sylvester, 314 to 335, was the first to order the churches to fast on Saturday, and Pope Innocent in 402 to 417 made it a binding law on the churches that obeyed him in order to bring the Sabbath into disfavor. So, Innocentius did ordain the Saturday or Sabbath to be always fasted. Dr. Peter Halen, History of the Sabbath. And then the 5th century Christians, looking at France, Africans, Spain, Sidonia, Church of the East, and Egypt. Century by century, in the 6th century Sabbath observance in the Scottish Church, Sabbath in Ireland, Scotland, and in the 7th century, looking at Rome and Scotland and Ireland, the Celts used a Latin Bible, unlike the Vulgate, and kept Saturday as the day of rest, with special religious services. The 8th century Sabbath observance. Persia, Mesopotamia, India, China, Persia, China, the Council of Laftany, Belgium. 9th century Sabbath observance in Bulgaria, Constantinople, India, Abyssinia, Bulgaria, Scotland in the 10th century. The Waldenses, the Waldenses were a Middle Ages group of people that were up in the European mountains, northern Italy, I believe it was. Here's what it says about the Waldenses. And because they observed no other day of rest but the Sabbath days, they called them in Sabbathias, as much as to say they observed the Sabbath. Luther's Forerunners, original spelling, pages 7 and 8. The Waldenses. Roman Catholic writers tried to evade the apostolic origin of the Waldenses so as to make it appear that the Roman is the only apostolic church and that all others are later novelties. And for this reason, they try to make out that the Waldenses originated with Peter Waldo of the 12th century. Now, it is not true that Waldo gave his name to the inhabitants of the valleys that were called Waldenses before his time, from the valleys in which they dwelt. The Waldenses, on the other hand, it was called Valdus or Waldo because he received his religious notions from the inhabitants of the valleys. History of the Christian Church. 11th century Sabbath observance in Scotland and Ireland. Constantinople and the Greek church. 12th century Sabbath observance. I pulled this off the web, at least my boy did, back in 2001. It's got a file number on here. I don't know if you can find it. It says Sabbath observance in the 12th century. File, colon, 3 slashes, D, with a slash. TEMP slash Sabbath, 12th century, HTM. I don't know if that'll help you or not. If you need a little help, give us a call here at the law school and say, hey, listen, I'm trying to find some information here on the internet. The internet's full of information. If you did a Google search on Sabbath, I'm pretty sure you'd probably come up with the same kind of information. It's no big secret. Everybody knows what day the Sabbath is. You'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to have heard that Saturday was the Sabbath. You must have heard about the Seventh-day Adventists. You must have heard about the Jews. You know. You've been told. You've heard. Now, of course, the question is, well, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. I'm not here to evangelize you and get you to practice the Sabbath. I'm a reporter. I came here to tell you that there's some heavy-duty, you know what, about to hit the fan, and as a consequence of that, Sabbath breaking is a capital felony. Now, the powers that be have it in their mind that they want to destroy about 9/10, that's 90% of the human race, over the next 50 or 60 years. The Georgia Guidestones aren't sitting down there in Georgia for no good purpose. And then it just happens to coincide with what we see in Isaiah 6, verse 13, where God says, I'm going to save a tithe of you alive. Now, we're talking about biblical catastrophe here. A catastrophe that the Messiah said in Matthew 24. He said, there'd never been a time like it. Never been a time like it in the history of the world. Now, if you take a look at Noah's flood, wiped out everybody in the world except 8 people. Now, that's a catastrophe. Now, how this catastrophe can supersede Noah's flood, I'm not quite sure I can grasp that one. I'm just reporting to you that in Matthew 24, the Messiah said that the upcoming tribulation is going to eclipse Noah's flood. Now, either in the total number of people killed, maybe that's what he was referring to. Maybe there's something else that we don't know about. But Revelation 6 indicates that a fourth of all the people in the world are going to be killed in just one of 4 major plagues. Now, there's about 6 billion people in the world, 6 billion plus. You take a fourth of that now, that's 1.5 billion people killed in one plague. That's serious. That's heavy duty. And one of the primary causes of this is Sabbath breaking. Remember, the Sabbath now is a capital felony. Murder is a capital felony. Theft isn't. Witchcraft is a capital felony. Now, if you'll take a look at modern America, let's take a look at modern Western Christianity as an illustration. When you take a look at what we're doing here in this country, and I'll just include all the rest of you people in the world along with them, and just ask yourself, are you doing these things? Do you practice integration in place of segregation, which is a violation of Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9? You know, integration is the official public policy of the United States. And it violates the scripture in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, which prescribes segregation. Not discrimination, but segregation. Christmas. Are you practicing Christmas? That's a violation of the command in Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6, not to learn the way of the heathen. Do you eat pork? That's a violation of Leviticus 11, verse 7. Do you practice Easter? That's a violation of Jeremiah 44, verses 17 through 19. Do you practice interracial marriage? That's a violation of Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11, and Ezra 10, 10. Do you practice unjust weights and measures, such as mortgages and a commercial paper, Federal Reserve notes, paper money? That's a violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Do you practice witchcraft? That's a violation of Leviticus 20, verse 27. Here in America, we have a special day set aside to honor witchcraft and to practice witchcraft on October the 31st. We call it Halloween in this country. I was reading the other day, Walmart grades these holidays. I think it's the second or third biggest holiday in the country. I think it's Christmas is number one, Halloween is number two. Sodomy. We used to, in this country, outlaw sodomy. Today, we've embraced it. That's a violation of Leviticus 20, verse 13. Abortion. We practice abortion. We have abortion clinics in this country. That's a violation of Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. Adultery. We have legalized adultery. I don't believe it's against the law in any state in the union to practice adultery. That's also a capital felony. That also is one of the Ten Commandments. That's a violation of Exodus 20, verse 14. Usury. You know, in this country, we have institutionalized the payment of interest in our mortgages on our houses and our automobiles. And consumer debt and credit cards. Americans don't think anything about paying interest. And banks and institutions and government agencies, take a look at the IRS. They don't have any qualms. I mean, your God, the United States, didn't have any qualms about charging you interest, charging you usury. That's a violation of Exodus 22, verses 25 through 27. How about voting? President Bush is on the air constantly telling you that he wants to bring democracy to Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and North Korea. He wants to bring democracy there, as if God is a Democrat. Now, I just wanted to report to you that it's a violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. It's an act of idolatry. I know Americans are wedded to these practices of integration, Christmas, pork, Easter, interracial marriage, unjust weights, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, voting. And that's 12. I just went down my list of 12 here. That's not necessarily the top 12 in any particular order, but that's 12 criminal acts that Americans practice as a matter of public policy. We eat Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage in this country. I mean, we call it Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage. It isn't that it's got a little pig in it, it's pure pork. And then, it's against the law to eat blood or to eat fat. We put fat in our hamburger. Fat in our hamburger. 30% of the content of your hamburger down at Big Mac is fat, prohibited here in Leviticus 3, verse 17. Now, there is one saving grace here. Here in America, we still bleed our animals when we butcher them, when we kill them. We're still pouring the blood on the ground. But we also have blood sausage, and we use blood for all kinds of purposes that violate Leviticus 7, verses 26 and 27. Then we have a census that's built right into our Constitution that violates 2 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 25. We've instituted a public school system which violates Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 and 10. In fact, it's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. We have adopted public schools. We have adopted communism in this country in a way that the Russians and the Chinese could only drool over. We've institutionalized it. We've accepted it. You know, the people in China rejected communism. The people in Russia have rejected communism. It's enforced upon them, but they don't adhere to it. They hate it. At least the Russians and the Chinese that I talk to tell me that it's an abomination. Not here in America. We love it. And then we practice wills, inheritance tax, real estate sales by license, birthdays, mixed fabric clothes. God, we love that one. It saves money to buy mixed fabric clothes. That violates Leviticus 19, verse 19. Then we've got unisex clothes. That violates Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. And then bestiality. That's got to be about the most repugnant thing I can think of. But, you know, it's legal in this country. Just in case you didn't know. That's just a partial list. There's 82 of these crimes. 82. Now, out of 133, we can still say that we practice 53. There are some laws in the Bible that we Americans and Western Christians still practice. But it's not half. We're in compliance, as a matter of public policy, with approximately 53. Or if we're not in compliance, we don't have laws that outlaw them. But we are out of compliance with 82. And we have laws that are on the books that actually forbid, prohibit the enforcement or the practice of these 82 biblical laws. Now, the Sabbath hasn't been outlawed yet. So you can still practice the Sabbath if you want to. I don't know for how much longer we'll be able to do that, but at least at this juncture of time, you still can. At this juncture of time. All right, so there's the story on the Sabbath. I got about a minute left here. So I think I'll give you a couple of reminders that if you'd like to have more information concerning this Sabbath, I haven't got a good source here, at least not here in front of me. If you want to call us here, the number is 417-273-4967. Ask for Dirk. And then when you get a hold of him, ask him, where do you get information on the Sabbath on the Internet? The report that I've got here is a dynamite report, but it doesn't have a conventional web address on here. I gave you that file, :3/D, with a slash with TEMP /Sabbath/first, _century, cent.html. Now, I don't know what that means. So if you need more information, we'd be happy to supply that to you. I'm not going to copy this report. It's about 50 pages. But I'll tell you where you can go get it, or Dirk can do that. All right, we're about out of time, so let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And remember that the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Here, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.